You can now hear Film Actually on Stitcher Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or WebOS device. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed, no memory wasted. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com.
Ow!
What was that for?
You're funny looking.
Well, you're funny looking too.
That's a funny looking shirt.
It's a funny looking dress.
You got funny looking eyes.
You got a funny looking face.
You're a stranger. Strangers don't last long here.
It'll be much less terrifying if you just come to me.
Lesbians got
hands. Make love in a hammock.
What?
Good evening.
It was such a quiet start, and you turned the volume down. I was like, oh crap, we're starting. I didn't have anything.
I was
ready
trying
for that.
To do this cultured thing that you wanted me to do.
No,
and then
dude,
you
it doesn't
laugh.
Work without the armchairs. Either that, or we have to take the entire background out, and you have to walk in and then turn sideways. And do
fair
that.
Enough. Hello, good everybody, evening. And welcome to Film Actually, episode 123.
1, 2, 3.
I love that. Episode 1, 2, 3.
123 goddamn episodes.
I know. And people are going to sit there and go, but there haven't been 123 episodes of Film Actually. Film Actually used to be part of Geek Actually. It's all one set of numbers. We just split them in half. So this is the 123rd film section of Geek Actually. How's that sound? Episode 123 for 12th of March 2011. I am Dave McVeigh, and this is Josh Philpott.
Hey.
Who blew my whole opening.
You didn't have an opening.
No, I was making it up as I go along. You're right.
Yeah.
This is the official movie podcast of GeekActually.com, and this week we are going to review, as from our opening clip would indicate, the new animated film Rango.
And thanks to our new friends over at Paramount for providing us with these video clips.
Absolutely. They've been sending us little clips and stuff, and we've got some new stuff from them that we're putting up on the site this week. We've got the new trailer, which we're actually going to show on the show today, the new trailer for Kung Fu Panda, which we actually saw at the cinema the other night, and I thought we'd show it on the show here as well. This week we're going to discuss Rango. As I said, we're also going to discuss a little film news, and I've just abbreviated this by simply saying Doom Super Pandas Arnold. There you go. Alright, that's
Doom
our
Super Pandas.
Pandas and Arnold. There you go. There's our news. Okay. Wow. So we'll be coming to
all right,
all
we'll
of that.
See you guys later. Bye.
We're going to come to all of that a little bit later on. We also have a brand new list of five, and we thought we would really stretch the lists of five muscles this week by saying it's not going to be movies this week, because if you remember when we started the lists of five going way back, we said we didn't want to just do top five lists. That wasn't kind of what this was about. This was about lists of five. Mm-hmm. Five things. So this week we're going to do five great animated characters.
Yes.
So this isn't even the movies.
I'm excited about this.
They could come from shitty films as long as the characters were good. Mm. All right, so we're going to come to five.
Also, it means we have to stretch our film muscle a little bit.
Yeah, further. It does. Yeah, it took me a little.
Because you can go outside the realm of good films.
Mm. And I actually had an 11-year-old and my lovely wife Katie helping me on this, because they're all just throwing stuff at me. And I have to say, my number one is actually from my lovely wife Katie. And as soon as she said it, I went, oh, yeah. I thought, yes, that is very true. All right, and as usual, at this time of day, we start with our what have we been watching this week. And once again, I've been watching so many films that to list them all would be insane. But I will say that I watched a very unlikely movie last week. Actually, no, I'll say I watched two very unlikely films this week. One of them was I watched The Time Traveler's Wife, which my lovely wife Katie watched with me as well, which is a romance film basically about a guy who uncontrollably just time travels. He can't control it. He just kind of will be functioning in life and then will just disappear and will reappear somewhere else. And he just, that's how he lives his life. And it stars Eric Bana and Rachel McAdams. And it's basically tells a story. He keeps visiting this little girl throughout her whole life, which of course is Rachel McAdams. So when they finally meet up at the right time point, she already knows him so well. And the funny thing is he doesn't know her because he's only seen her in these time trips.
Yeah.
But of course, they fall in love, they get married, and they have to deal with this affliction that he has of time traveling. It's actually not a bad film. I quite liked it. My only complaint, if I had a complaint about the film, would be Eric Bana, because he's just not very soft. He's not a very soft actor. He's not very, warm at all. That was the word my wife used. She said, he's not warm. That's the problem. It needed a different lead. Rachel McAdams was no problem. It needed a different lead. But other than that, it was actually a really good film. I quite enjoyed it, and I do recommend it. The other film I saw this week, which I thought was kind of really off the beaten track for me, which was Eat, Pray, Love, the Julia Roberts film. We watched that last night. And I have to say, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I actually really have been putting this film off for a long time. But my wife really wanted to see it, so we had a look at it. And once again, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. I did have issues with its structure. It's told in three parts, Eat, Pray, Love. So she goes to Italy, she goes to India, and then she goes to Bali. And of course, you know, in Italy, she learns to just enjoy and relax and eat and all this sort of stuff. And then she goes to India, learns to pray, meditate. You know, she's trying to find herself, basically. And then she goes to Bali, and of course, she falls in love. But the problem is the Bali section, to me, would seem to be one of the most important sections, and the Javier Bardem section and all. And yet, that's the shortest part of the whole film. It's kind of like, wow, we really didn't give much time to that at all, you know? But the other issue I had with it is I think I'm over Julia Roberts. I really think that it needed some somebody like Sandra Bullock or somebody in it.
I've never liked her, so.
But other than that, I thought it was actually kind of interesting to watch that again. I haven't seen it in quite. Oh, no, not again. That one I haven't watched. I was need to finally catch up and watch it, is what I was going to say. I did watch something else again this week, which is what I was going to lead into, and then I've forgotten what it was. So I'll pass it on to you, Josh.
Well, I watched From Paris with Love and now completely understand your hate for the dude that was playing the main character.
Yeah.
What's his name again? Trying to think of it.
He's gone
Anyone
out of my head.
Help me out?
You know, we actually have databases and stuff at our fingertips. We should probably look these
things
up.
All right, well,
up.
You look up while I talk about the rest of the film. The thing that I find amazing about the film is I love it up until he's on screen.
Oh, anytime... wait a minute. You're not talking about Travolta.
No, Travolta.
I like Travolta. You know?
Travolta was fantastic. Yeah. He just...
He stole the film.
Absolutely fantastic. He is just mind-blowingly misogynistic and violent... But just, he's just decimatingly...
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Yep. The man just cannot act. Every time he was on screen, I swear to God, I have a new hate further than I hate Liam Neeson. I hate this man so much more than that.
Wow.
Because every time he was on screen, he doesn't act. He just stands there and makes words. He just speaks. There's no emotion to it. There's no levels to it.
Agreed.
He's just horrible. And that movie could have actually had a chance at being something amazing if it wasn't for him, because every scene where Charlie Wax, John Travolta's character, is just tearing through the streets of London, London, Paris,
Paris, yeah.
Just destroying everything in his wake, are freaking amazing scenes. And then every time it cuts back to the story, I'm like, I don't care about this guy. I wish he would die. So yeah, there's that. And I also watched The Messenger this week, which is a film... a couple of years ago, and as usual with Australia, we only got it like last year.
Typical.
And we watched it, we sat down. It is really a character piece. It's more about the characters than it is about the film. The film itself is kind of meh, average, but the acting from someone who you've heard me say multiple times, Ben Foster, this kid is coming, and he is going to be huge.
What we needed was Ben Foster in... From Paris with Love.
That would have worked.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm getting to see The Mechanic soon, so hopefully I will see him kick ass again, because Ben Foster is an amazingly talented actor, and if you watch this film, you will see it. And I can see why Woody Harrelson got an
Academy. I must see it. I haven't actually seen... The name's gone out of my head. Tell me again.
The Messenger.
Thank you. The Messenger. I haven't actually seen The Messenger. I really want to. It's one of those films I've been wanting to catch up with for a long time. The other film that I watched this week that you've actually seen, which was I watched the remake of The Crazies, finally. I picked it up on a cheap Blu-ray, actually, and I thought, well, I'll have a look at this finally, get around to it. I actually quite liked it. I actually thought it was... a good remake, I thought, because the original film is actually not that good a film. Back in the 70s, it was kind of shocking, but you go back and look at it now, it's really dated badly, you know? And I thought that Timothy Olyphant and even Radha Mitchell did quite a good job in The Crazies. And I thought it kept me interested. It was interesting because I actually reached the 45-minute mark on the film. And I thought to myself at that point, I actually don't know where it's going. Because it almost felt like we'd reached the end of the film, and then there is a whole 45 minutes to go. And it goes, and it just keeps going. And it actually kind of was refreshing to sit there and go, I don't know where you're going with this now, you know? And so I actually quite enjoyed that. And I thought that was, and I know you actually had some hesitations about the crazy.
Yeah, I want to rewatch it because the sound apparently was kind of screwed up when we watched it last time. And it would be nice to sit down and actually watch this film in all its blurry glory and see if it's any better.
Yeah, no, I think you'll actually be quite happily pleased with it. So, the other film, and we actually didn't review The Crazies on the show, I don't know, and you were actually not here for the day that we reviewed From Paris with Love. That was actually me, Dave, and Katrina, so that's why you missed out on that one. But that was the, I'm glad you finally saw it. The other film that we didn't review on the show, because neither of us could stand actually going to the cinema to see it, and I finally got around to watching it, was Due Date. Robert Downey Jr., Zach Galifianakis film, directed by the guy who directed The Hangover. And let me tell you, it is awful. It was actually the unfunniest film I think I have seen in many years. And not just unfunny. I love Robert Downey Jr., but can I just say that there wasn't a likable character in the film. It was just really, really bad in every way. So I'm glad we didn't go to the cinema. I saw it on DVD finally, and it's like, wow, I'm glad I saw it that way because it was not good. All right. Now, the other thing we do in this section, unless you've got another film, any more? No? Okay. The other thing we do in this section is we do giveaways when we have a giveaway. And I got to say, I'm disappointed, guys.
I would like to put it down to the fact that we have a very heavy geek crowd.
That's true. They probably already
which
have
means
it.
That I would imagine everyone that watches the show probably already has
that's true.
A copy
and
of
what
Serenity.
We're talking about, of course, is we were giving away a pre-loved copy of Serenity on the show last week, and nobody entered. So we still have the pre-copy. So we're going to put that one away, and we'll come back to that later. And I thought we'd sweeten the pot this week because here's a film you might not have had, and this is actually the director's cut of King Arthur. And once again, it's a lovely pre-loved copy. It's in perfect condition. It's just, it's been in my collection.
Everything Dave has is in perfect
condition. That's right, because I love my DVDs. They are my babies. But I have picked this up on Blu-ray, and it's not a great film, let me just tell you, but it has some good moments. The sequence on the ice is awesome. I mean, it's an awe-inspiring sequence, beautifully shot. So if you want this copy of King Arthur, the director's cut DVD, open to the Australian viewers, unfortunately, because it is a Region 4, and we're cheap asses. We don't want to send overseas. But if you want this, send us an email at feedback@geekactually.com. And answer the simple question, what's your favorite Clive Owen film and why? All right. So there you go. And you can have this lovely copy of King Arthur. Send your responses. It'll close on Friday and we'll announce the winner on. Yes, Rob. I'm sorry. Rob in our chat room is basically saying boo because he's in America.
Yeah. Sorry, dude. If we could figure a way to cheaply ship it to you, we'd think about it.
Yeah. I'll look into shipping overseas. But the other problem is the Region 4 is going to stump you. If you don't have a multi-region player, and a lot of American machines aren't multi-region, all Australian machines are multi-region because our lovely government decided that regions were anti-competitive and basically said that they weren't allowed to use region coding. But... he says he's kidding. He hated that movie. And I don't blame you. But as I say, it has some good moments. And look, quite frankly, as I said last week on the show, the sexual tension between the main leads, and no, I'm not talking about Keira Knightley, I'm talking about Lancelot and King Arthur, is really staggering. It really is amazing. So it is well worth having a look at. But anyway, if you want that, what is your favorite Clive Owen film and why? 25 words or less, send it to feedback@geekactually.com. We have to have the entries in by Friday. And once again, you know, I'm so organized, I don't have the date in front of me, but it will be Friday the 18th of this month. And we will announce the winner and we will send it out on the weekend, on the next show. All right, so there's all of that being done. Now let's get on to our feature film review. Now, feature film review is still at the head of the show because I've only received two comments from you guys. I did ask for feedback. We're thinking about moving the feature film review part to the end of the show so we can have a decent spoiler section. Only two people have responded to that. If you would like to have your opinion on whether we should keep the feature film review where it is at the beginning or move it to the end so we can open up a spoiler section, send it to feedback@geekactually.com. All you have to do is say, move it to the end, keep it at the beginning. I don't care. You don't have to give explanation. Just let us know. We need a few more before we make that move because, you know, with the lots of people who listen to this show, we'd like to hear your opinions. Yep. All right. So we'll leave that at that point. We're going to leave the feature film review at the beginning of the show for the moment. And this week, we are going to review the film Rango. And we have a lot to talk about with this film because it's not just the film, but it's the filmmakers behind it as well. I did some research last night and came up with some very interesting bits and pieces. But let's give all the details. We'll show the trailer, and then we'll come into this, and we'll talk about the film and the making of it and why this film is so spectacularly special in many ways. But first of all, we'll say Rango is directed by Gore Verbinski. And if that name is familiar to you, that's because he directed all three Pirates of the Caribbean films and the remake of The Ring, The Weatherman with Nicolas Cage. He's been around for a while. And it's written by John Logan. And if that name is familiar with you, this is the guy who wrote Gladiator. Yeah. All right, so and amongst other films. It's based on a story by John Logan, Gore Verbinski, and James Ward. Now, I'm going to massacre this last name. I think it's Burkitt, but it's a strange spelling. So if I got that wrong, I do apologize. It stars the voice talents of Johnny Depp, Isla Fisher, Abigail Breslin, Ned Beatty, Alfred Molina, Bill Nighy, Stephen Root, Harry Dean Stanton, Ray Winstone, and Timothy Olyphant, amongst others. Winston, Winstone, I've never Winston. never been quite sure how to pronounce it. Winston, we'll take that as well. Yeah. Now, the plot synopsis is an ordinary domesticated chameleon accidentally gets lost in the desert and winds up in the dirt town of Dirt, a lawless outpost in the Wild West. The chameleon takes on the name Rango and, in a bid to save his own ass, invents a story about his heroic badass past. The town of Dirt is so desperate in need of water and hope, they buy his story and he becomes the sheriff and the town hero. The question then becomes, when bad guys come to town and times get tougher for the town of Dirt, can Rango become the hero that the townspeople believe him to be and save the town and himself? All right, so that's basically the rundown. We have the trailer here. Let's have a look here. Somewhere here I have the trailer. Here's the trailer for Rango. Have a look at this and we'll come back and talk about it.
What do you think, Doc?
This hawk is dead.
Circle of life. Who exactly are you?
Name's Rango. What is this?
That there's Rango. He ain't afraid of none of you.
Is that right?
Take care of that for you. All better.
You see them, Mr. Rango? People have to believe in something. Pick it up. Your destiny awaits.
You are going to save us, aren't you?
Count on it, little sister.
Sheriff, we got a problem.
This is my town.
They done taken everything we got.
So you want something to believe in? Believe in that there sign. For as long as it hangs there, we got hope. Whatever you do, do not look down.
Whoa! Whoa!
Ow! All right, now listen. I'm going to give you fellas one last chance to reconsider.
Make your move.
Hold on, don't worry, I got a plan. Help! Open the door! Okay, plan B.
Okay. All right, so that was Rango. Now, before we get into the review proper, we've had our chat room, Rob in our chat room, who is from the Real Junkies podcast, hello, Rob, has basically said, at least it looks pretty, and that's an understatement, you know what I mean? The film looks staggering.
This is what happens when you let ILM run loose. They just make things really pretty.
Now, I actually wrote in the review on geekactually.com, I said, it's almost as if ILM looked at everybody else making animated films at the moment and said, yeah, that's all really cute. Now it's our turn. And they have actually gone to town on this. And I actually said, skin textures so real, you feel you can touch them. Mm. water droplets so real you get thirsty looking at them, and sand so real you just want to run your toes through it.
Yeah, I mean,
it is just remarkable. I mean, the texture mapping is amazing. The character animation. Now, I actually made a mistake on my review, and I'll retract it right now, because I had actually was under the impression it was motion capture.
Mm.
The film actually becomes even more impressive when you find out how the film was made. ILM instigated, well, actually, Gore Verbinski. We got to give Gore Verbinski a lot more credit here. Apparently, Gore Verbinski's company developed this film in conjunction with Nickelodeon and then sought out an animation company to do it and went to ILM. And ILM jumped the chance to do it. And it's ironic because ILM back 15 years ago, whatever it was, used to own Pixar and let Pixar go because Pixar wanted to make a full-length animated feature film, and that wasn't ILM's goal. And so they let Pixar go, and Pixar went on to do Toy Story, and the rest is history. And it's really interesting now, all these years later, that ILM has turned around and done a full-length animated film.
Mm.
That being said, ILM basically invented CG. I mean, this is the company that was the first company to ever put a computer animated character on screen in a motion picture, which was the Glass Knight from the young Sherlock Holmes movie.
Mm.
And then, of course, completely changed the face of cinema in 1990, I want to say 95, I think it was actually earlier than that, 93 possibly, when they released Jurassic Park. And that first dinosaur hit the screen and we all went, oh my God, what the hell, you know? And every year, we think other studios come along and do amazing, groundbreaking stuff, and then ILM comes out and tops them again. Mm. It's like they are the one that everybody looks to see what is next.
Mm-hmm.
So now that they've actually come out and actually done a full-length animated film, we look at it and go, all right, all the techniques that they have pioneered, motion capture, this and that, the next thing, we go, so they're obviously going to be pulling all those tricks out of the bag. No, this is hand-animated. This is Pixar style hand animated, and that makes it all the more amazing. They've actually instigated a new technique, which was actually first used by Wes Anderson for the Fantastic Mr. Fox, where they don't call it motion capture, they call it emotion capture. And basically what they did was, unlike other animated films where they get in big name studio stars, they put them into a booth and they record their dialogue and then they animate to those characters, they actually got all the actors together, put them into costumes and acted out the movie and recorded the dialogue live. So they're all actually talking to each other.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
And then the animators had the reference footage of the actors doing all that stuff. So when they animated the characters, they not only had the voices, but they had the emotional intent behind the voices because they had them all acting out. And I think it was actually Bill Nighy, in a quote I actually recently read, had leaned to Johnny Depp at one point and said something like, this is the strangest experience I'm ever having. Because here they are wearing like sombreros and stuff, acting out, you're a lizard. It's like, you're a snake. So it really is amazing stuff. And yes, Rob, I cannot wait till the Blu-ray comes out. I want to see the behind the scenes footage.
Yeah.
I want to see them actually doing this. I want to see this film get put together because it is a staggering exercise in animation and texture.
It's interesting because, as you were saying before, I mean, ILM have kind of turned down this kind of world before. Mm. And, like, I mean, you and me were discussing that one of the reasons that we think they may have gone ahead and ran with this one is because it's not like a standard Pixar kids film.
No.
It's kind of very borderlining on an adult film.
Like, and this is one of the things we talked about actually a couple of weeks ago, and to your point, which is when I said we need to stop using the term kids film and more family film. This falls into that category well. Adults are going to get just as much out of this as the kids are.
Probably more.
And different.
Yeah.
Because there are actually lines of dialogue and scenes in this film that will go straight over a kid's head.
Yeah.
But they'll be laughing at something else.
Yeah.
You know? It's very clever. All right. Yeah. So that's the making of the film. Question is, with all that hype, is the film... Oh, actually, no. Before we say, is the film any good? Here's one last little thing. ILM instigated a brand new thing, a brand new technique for this film, and this was the most breakthrough thing, I think, of it all. It's a fully CG animated film, and they use this brand new technique called 2D.
Mm.
It's amazing, because you get real clarity on screen. You know, you'd think that they'd be doing this whole 3D gimmicky thing, but no, they actually wanted you to have clarity. They wanted this film to be as sharp as possible.
Yeah.
This is not made in 3D, and it's so refreshing to see a CG. And not that this film wouldn't look spectacular in 3D. The first thing we said was, God, we'd like to see this in 3D.
Yeah.
But they didn't do it. They actually made a straight 2D animated film. Mm. And I think it's actually better for it. Anyway, you were going to say. Is the film worth it?
I was blown away by this film. There is a lot in this film for someone like me of my kind of mental caliber and beliefs and understanding. It's like a lot of my favorite films and my favorite types of actors and cast members are given either great cameos or winks to the camera and stuff like this. As I said, there's almost more in this film for adults than there is for kids, because there's a lot of stuff you won't get unless you know.
And this is about this is not a film for small kids.
No.
I would happily take my 11-year-old. That's not a problem. Mm. I think from about 11, 12 onwards, fine. You take younger kids, they're going to get bored.
Mm.
This is not a Pixar film. Yeah. You know. Anyway, go on.
The things that really worked for me is it's not a story that we haven't heard before. I mean, it's very much just a standard redemption sort of a storyline, and I can understand that. That's probably also where the kids thing kind of falls into it, but. I thought, like you said, it's such a beautiful looking movie, and all of the characters are so unique looking. Like, none of them are just, like, each one of the characters in the town, because you've got a cast of, what, 40 or 50 people that will be moving in and out. None of them are kind of, like, half animated or made really simple. It's like there's so much depth and detail in each character. It's like you just fell in love with the town.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was it's such an interesting kind of experience. And Depp is in fine form. He's back where he should be, playing crazy people.
The performance in Rango is like a cross between his Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas and Captain Jack Sparrow. He's out of his mind. Mm-hmm. There's all the little asides, the mumbling under his breath. He's just in fine form.
Yeah,
you know?
And he plays like that kind of neurotic kind of like introvert just so beautifully. And I was really impressed with that. It, like, right from the word go, when he's doing that monologue / play with the toys in his bathtub.
And you sit there in the first 5 minutes of film going, what the fuck is going on? And then when he actually fogs up the lens of the camera to draw on the screen, you sit there going, what is going on?
No, it was fantastic. And there is just so much depth to the little wink.
Sorry, Rob has actually said in our chat room, when does Depp not play crazy? Let's try the tourist.
Yeah, and that's when it usually stops working for
him. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, it's just nice to see him playing that kind of a character. I mean, we've been waiting for ages to see him play Hunter S. Thompson again in The Rum Diaries, which just never seems to happen. It's still supposed to be coming. But other than that, it's just like we've seen him trying to be Madonna, him trying to be, Keith...
Richards.
It's like, it's really nice to just see him go, all right, I'm just going to play that typecast.
Well, no, I think you just summed it up there.
Yeah.
He just went, let's play.
Mm.
And that's what it's like. It's like these actors all got together and just got to play.
Well, there doesn't seem to be he's got to the point where he just likes to try and create characters out of people, like create a caricature of a person that he knows or a person that he's seen. It was nice to just see him walk in and go, right, I'm playing a lizard. I'm playing a neurotic lizard.
A neurotic thespian lizard. It's like, yeah. And I mean, okay, the film makes very little logical sense, but it's a cartoon. Who cares? Mm. I mean, where do they get the little guns from? And at one point, they're in the middle, they're underground, and they say, let's ride, and they're back on their chicken. Where'd their chickens come from?
Oh, dude, that was the best bit of the film.
But it's like, this is part of the fun of this film, is it's completely out of its tree, you know?
And just the fact that he just loves saying that statement as well. He's just like, let's ride. That means now.
I enjoyed this film to hell. I mean, I just absolutely enjoyed it to hell. And I gotta say that it's really quite amazing because it's a long film. Mm. It's just on 2 hours long. And for an animated film, that's long. I mean, most of your Pixar and stuff will clock in at about 90 minutes, 95 minutes. This thing takes its time.
There's so much going on. Like, the animation scenes where, like, there's gun battles or giant, you know, sort of, like, 3D spectacle pieces and stuff like this. Nothing's taken down a notch or anything like that. It's just chaos on
screen. Speaking of not being taken, minor spoilers, but it is in the trailer, you can see it. The canyon fight with the moles on bats with Gatling guns and dropping dynamite. This scene is spectacular. Mm. I mean, it is just a truly spectacular scene of action.
And piss funny.
Yeah.
Piss funny. You are just sitting there the whole time going, what is going on? And it's one of those... And the thing that I love about the film is it really fits into that Western genre, and it does it perfectly. It's like little hints to things that may have influenced the film and, you know, places that they may have gone to get source material from. But the actual underlying tone of the entire thing is a Western. And it's just so faithful to that kind of a, kind of a film. And it just, it works so beautifully. And yeah, there's some great... Like, I can't go on. I can't stress.
Well, we don't. We don't want to spoil a couple of the real. There's a couple of really great, and we'll just say they're almost like cameos.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of really great moments in this film where you just sit there and go, "Hi."
And it's in everything. It's not just actors. It's like there's music that is taken from places. There's there are cameos from particular people. There's scenes that may kind of like correspond with something that you already know. It's just, it's done with so much love. And that's what
this is one of those rare films. I don't think we've actually had one for quite some time. It's one of those rare films where Josh and I came out of the cinema and just went, we want to see it again. And if we hadn't been at a 9 o'clock session at night, there's a very good chance we probably would have rolled right back into a second session.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It was a really, really entertaining film. Now, I've seen, you know, on the most part, it's getting fairly well received. I think Rotten Tomatoes at the moment has got it like 80% or something like that. And there are those detractors who say, oh, it's a little bit slow in places. You know what? I didn't see that. And from my money, putting down my money and going to see this film, I just had a blast. I had such a good time.
The question I have to ask people is, are you taking into account the fact that like these visuals are probably the nicest 3D work I have ever seen? Like, this is right up there with the top stuff I've ever seen. Like, we should, you know, like, you should judge it on things like that. I mean, there are like huge progressive steps in this sort of thing. And there's combining kids' films and adult material, but the kind of thing that if you grew up with Rango from now, you would then later on find all these references later in life you'd be able to enjoy it when you were showing it to your kids. It's like, it is one of those films that it will go into my collection and it will come out so often it's not funny.
And it's so nice to see Gore Verbinski doing something like this again, because, I mean, let's face it, I didn't mind the remake of The Ring, and I'm an unabashed lover of the first Pirates of the Caribbean. But lately, he's been going slowly kind of downhill. And then with The Weatherman, I thought was truly boring. And the last two Pirates films were kind of like, yeah, we've seen it all before. I mean, they were okay, fun, but they were like, we've seen it all before. We're done. You know what I mean? So it's really nice to see him go back and say, let's just completely do something completely different, you know, completely new. And it's so interesting because when you read about the making of this, he actually thought this was going to be his little film, because he actually said that after doing the Pirates films, he wanted to do a little film just to kind of like, you know, have a break. He didn't realize how much work there was involved in an animated film, and it what turned out to be not his little film, but this was his way of basically refreshing his palate. Now I'm very curious to see what Gore Verbinski does next. You know?
Apart from, is he doing the new?
No. Rob Marshall's directing the new Pirates. Yeah. So that's what I said. And the new Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm actually kind of interested in the new Pirates. New director, fresh start. You know, we got rid of Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley, and we can actually focus on the ones that really matter. You know, so I'm kind of interested in the new Pirates. So I think it's a win-win all round. I have to say that I would recommend Rango to anybody. If you don't like animated films, and there are people out there who just think animated films are not real movies, they're just animated films, go see this movie. This is a real movie. It's, you know, it's as real as any other movie out there right now. And man, the texture mapping and 3D animation is so good. Some of these actors are actually more real than some of the actors working in Hollywood today. And what you were saying about backgrounds and stuff is so true. Normally on an animated film, your principals are lots of detail on your principals. Background characters are a little bit less detailed because, you know, they're just back. So much love given to every single background character in this. Everything in the town had life to it, you know?
Exactly. Every single one of the children of those, whatever they were, rats or moles or whatever.
All the various canyon dwellers. Yeah.
Exactly. Were just like, each one of them was perfectly developed to look like a cross between a human hick and
tell me you didn't want to see more of that spider Undertaker. Steampunk spider with his weird goggles on and stuff. I wanted to see more of that character.
It was good. It was really good.
No, it was really good. And I'm going to say that if friends came up and said, should I go see Rango? I'm going to say highly recommended to everyone.
Highly recommended.
Really liked it. I don't have much negative to say about this film.
No.
The only thing I would say negative about this film at all is, for the short attention span people out there, it might be a little bit long. You could probably easily shave 10 minutes out of this film without missing too much. But it's such a beautiful film. Why would you want to?
Yeah, no. There was too much to look at and enjoy for me to feel bored at any.
Because you even found yourself, even in a scene which might have been a slower scene, you found yourself with your eyes wandering around the screen, looking at all the detail.
Oh, I was looking at the pipes in the underground sequence. It's just like, wow, that is a really nice looking pipe.
Yeah, and there's that one. It's in the trailer. They don't actually have the punchline, so we'll give a minus one. But when they're walking through the underground, that huge eye opens.
Yeah.
And they pass it, and it's like you sit there and go, okay, so that was it. And you just hear one person go, that was a big one.
That was big one. Yeah.
It's like, what was that eye?
You probably wouldn't want to stop.
But so it's moments like that. Look, and on top of all of that, it also tells a story that's probably environmentally relevant today. Mm. In fact, I actually listened to Slash Filmcast earlier this week. It seems everybody's reviewing Rango this week, but they were reviewing Rango as well. And actually, one of them made a really interesting observation, which didn't occur to me while watching it. But as soon as he said it, I went, "Oh yeah." He said it's almost like a remake of Chinatown. That whole idea of stealing water in the desert. Yeah. And all, so it's like that's a really interesting observation that they have taken that Chinatown rift from it. You know, So I thought that was very interesting as well. But yes, go see it. We're seeing it again because you want to take Celine. Mm-hmm. I've got to take Little Geek. So we're definitely going to go see it again. Well worth it. And I'm actually glad it's not in 3D. I will say that one more time. I'm glad it's not in 3D. I think 3D would take away some of the sharpness of that detail that's in the film. And it is a remarkably detailed. I mean, just the hair. Mm. All the hairs on all the animals. Everything moved. Everything was so fluid. ILM, you guys are amazing. For those who don't know what ILM stands for, it's Industrial Light and Magic.
Yep.
And believe it or not, it's the one good thing, consistently good thing. I'll add the word consistently. It's the one consistently good thing that George Lucas created.
Yeah.
It's George Lucas's special effects company. But for a company that was formed in the mid-70s to do the effects for one movie, it has become a powerhouse.
Yeah.
Okay, so from Rango, let's move into some news and say that we actually have a last-minute addition. We'll come back to that one in a sec, though. And first of all, I'm going to say that if you remember many weeks ago, Shia LaBeouf actually came out and said that he was sorry about Transformers 2, and it wasn't very good.
We remember
that. And the next one's going to be better, he promises. Well, we all thought, yeah, Shia, get on with it, right? Michael Bay this week, in an interview with Empire Magazine, has actually now also come out and said that Transformers 2 wasn't very good. And I will quote from the Empire article that actually says, "We made some mistakes," admits Bay. "The real fault with Transformers 2 is that it ran into a mystical world. When I look back at it, that was crap."
Yeah. Okay.
He says, and then he goes on to make excuses. He goes on, "We were running into a writer's strike. It was coming on hard and fast. It was just terrible to do a movie where you've got to have the story in 3 weeks, blah, blah." And he makes lots of excuses. And all I can say is you can make all the excuses you want. The film was crap. But he does admit that it was crap.
Mm.
I'm actually starting to get a slightly better vibe about Transformers 3.
Don't do it. It's all a lie. You're just falling into his trap.
No, not just him, though. The fact is that everybody is basically saying this is going to be a better film.
Yeah.
And you know what? To go from a really good film like Transformers 1, which I loved a lot, to really crap Transformers 2, there's got to be a happy middle ground. And that's what I'm hoping Transformers 3 will fall into.
Well, let's hope.
So I can only hope. But I just think it's funny that everybody is starting to come out and admit that Transformers 2 was crap. The producers must be really... Although, you know what? The producers probably don't care at this point. The film's turned $500 million.
Exactly. They're just rolling in giant piles of money with Coke and hookers. That's all they're doing.
Our friends over at Coke and hookers... our friends over at Paramount sent this for the site, and then, of course, we saw it when we actually went to see Rango. But this is the new trailer for Kung Fu Panda. And if you remember the first trailer for Kung Fu Panda that came out, it was just him talking to camera saying, "Let's have a staring contest." And I thought, really? This is what we're going to do for a trailer? At least this one actually now has stuff. Now, I loved the first Kung Fu Panda. I thought the first Kung Fu Panda was a really fun film.
Mm.
And I have to say that now that we've got the second trailer, I'm thinking Kung Fu Panda 2...
looks pretty fucking badass.
Looks pretty badass. It looks pretty funny. So we could be on another winner. So here's Kung Fu Panda 2.
You guys, did you see that? I just was like, what? received a message?
From the universe?
From a messenger.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Our greatest masters are disappearing. I fear this is the work of Lord Shen, who has unleashed a new kind of threat on our world. This could mean the end of Kung Fu.
But I just got Kung Fu!
And now, you must save it. Take the five. It is time for the next phase of your journey.
My fist hungers for justice. That was my fist.
We need to get to that tower without being spotted by those wolves.
Huh? Got it.
Stealth mode.
I hate this sneaking around.
Hey.
Huh?
I like it.
How can Kung Fu stop something that stops Kung Fu?
Here we go!
Remember, Dragon Warrior, when you follow the noble path, anything is possible.
I'm freaking in.
Where are the signs?
What signs? Ah! So many signs!
My old enemy. Stairs.
All right, so that's Kung Fu Panda 2. I just
that
love
film
I love
hilarious.
So beware the signs. So many signs.
Yeah, and it looks like they're really going all out with the visual effects this time as well, really showing some pretty epic stuff, and like then, that look, bit where he's climbing the building and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
going to be amazing.
When I saw Kung Fu Panda 1, my reaction coming out of Kung Fu Panda 1 was not so much storytelling, we're just talking about animation. And I basically came out and said, my God, here's a film that has actually out-Pixar'd Pixar.
Yeah.
Because the animation was superb. And yeah. then WALL-E came out and just blew it out of the water, right? And so what Pixar does, Pixar just keeps upping the game, right? I think up until Rango came out, there were two major houses. Yes, there are the anomalies. Fox brought out Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, which was hysterically funny.
Yeah.
Sony brought out Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. But I have to say that there are two standard houses now that are both producing quality, consistent quality work. One is DreamWorks, which is the Kung Fu Panda films, How to Train Your Dragon. You know, we're seeing some great stuff out of them. And Pixar, of course. Now I think with ILM we now have a third contender. The question is what will they do next,
or will they do
or will they next? Do another one? Yeah, that's the other question. But I really like the first Kung Fu Panda. It's actually one of the few times I can say I didn't think Jack Black was painful.
Exactly.
You know, that and Tropic Thunder are probably my favorite Jack Blacks. And other than that, oh, and of course his early days with things like
High Fidelity.
Yeah, exactly. But he was a support player. I'm talking about since he's been a star,
yeah.
You know? All right, so that's...
What, you didn't like Gulliver's Travels?
You know, I still haven't seen it. I'm having trouble. I just can't.
I
don't know if I can. I just don't know if I can do it. Mm. Anyway, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But I have something else that's going to kind of make you go, bah! Which, of course, is the studio that brought us Doom, if you remember Doom.
I remember Doom.
With Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah.
Well, the studio is now saying, you know what? I think there's room to reboot Doom.
Fucking A.
In 3D.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sorry, but like, you know what I want to... You know what? I have a Doom movie in my head that I would love to see, which is just...
First person.
Make up some stupid fucking reason that he's got like a camera on his head and we spend like the whole movie following this guy. Look at Rec 2 if you want an idea of how you could possibly do that, just with a fuckload higher budget. But if you were to do that... and have it all in 3D, that would be a badass film. That last 10 minutes of, no.
The middle, right in the middle. Yeah.
The bit where it goes first person. That bit was fucking crazy. And the rest of the film is dog crap. So give it another shot. Dude, at this stage, what can we lose? We've had that many video game movies and they're all
Couldn't
crap.
You argue, though, that the money that you would do to do the reboot, we could try something else?
Like what?
Well, they're also talking about a Tomb Raider reboot.
Oh, go nuts. That one's open fodder, man.
Without Angelina Jolie.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm sick of her. And
I think she's too old for it. Anyway. Yeah, and too skinny now.
Exactly. I don't know. I mean, look, the Tomb Raider one's a bit of a meh because I don't understand. But Doom, look, Doom is stupid no matter what light you look at it.
You know what they could do? If they wanted a Tomb Raider... Look, Tomb Raider is one of those things where the property is perfect. Yeah. If you actually wanted to, you could make Raiders of the Lost Ark with a female star, and you've got Tomb Raider.
Exactly.
So just do that. Why are we trying to do all this Cradle of Life crap and all this stuff? Just do Raiders of the Lost Ark with a female protagonist, and you've got a female protagonist with large breasts and short shorts.
And two guns.
And two guns and a long ponytail, and you've got Tomb Raider. That's it. It's done, you know?
I don't know, man. I mean, it just seems like another mindless
Chris
action
from, film. Chris from Bris Vegas says, seems like another mindless action film.
They're having a conversation about Transformers.
Oh, God, are they way back there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Keep up, guys.
Yeah.
All right, so you're down with Doom. I thought you'd actually be a lot harder on it than that, because I was.
Oh, because, dude, I just see it as a waste of time. And I was one of the few people that went into that and went, this is going to be fucking stupid.
I actually own it. I've got it down on DVD.
Exactly. So. I'm like, this movie is going to be terrible. It's going to be just so shocking, and there will be a bad storyline. And you know what I got? I got a bad film. And I was like, was that worth my money? Nah, but
Rob says they needed a Super Mario Brothers reboot.
I don't think you can get Mario Brothers right. What would you have it about?
Yeah, it's a platformer. What are you going to do with
that? It's kind of like, that's the same sort of idea for me as them doing the Real Steel film. It's like, we don't need a film about Rock'em Sock'em Robots. And I don't think we need a Mario Brothers film, because I think realistically Mario Brothers is just a film that would be about a dude running along.
I think we just need an Italian plumber showing his crack, and then you've got Mario Brothers. There you go.
Yeah, no, I've got better things to do with my life.
All right, so
I think Rob was kidding.
So. I hope he's kidding. So we go from Doom, from one stupid action film to another stupid action film. Expendables 2 is on the plate at the moment. But the piece why it came up as news, because we knew Expendables 2 was coming, but the piece that I thought was actually interesting, the Los Angeles Times has an article about it, saying that they're actually currently shopping around for a director. So Stallone's not going to direct it?
I think that's a fantastic idea.
I just find it odd. He's such a control freak that why wouldn't he? That's the part that gets me. Is it's not that I think, quite frankly, he shouldn't direct it because, you know, I think we might get an even better film. But when you had a property that worked, had a property that made money, had a property that everybody seemed to like, and then turn around and say, well, you know, that one thing that really seemed to make it work, we're going to take that out. I don't know. But apparently they want to, in the new film that won't be directed by Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
They want to expand Bruce Willis's part, give him more to do. And now that Arnold's free, they want to try and get more out of Arnold, too.
Oh, dude, this is all going to get terrible.
So they're saying that Stallone's tweet last summer was that he wanted the actor, apparently they wanted him for the actor for the supervillain.
Dude, that's cool. I think we should have that movie split into two bits. That would make that movie perfect.
Yep.
You have Dolph Lundgren... you have Sylvester Stallone. I don't know who else. Let's get Jean-Claude Van Damme in there.
Oh no, he won't do it. Did you hear his quote? I was hoping you'd mention that. I forgot all about it actually when we did the review. Apparently, he was approached to do the Expendables, and it is reported. I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but it is reported that he actually said, "Now, before I say this, this is the man who starred in Time Cop, Kickboxer, Cyborg. You know, he was quoted as saying that the script wasn't intelligent enough."
Well, to be fair, I kind of give him credit for that one because he's probably trying to get out of that. But look, I think if you got a new director behind it, you might be able to win him over.
Oh, and that's the other thing. Stallone's not writing it either. Stallone also wrote the film.
I know.
He's not writing this one either.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like, wow, Stallone's just backseat and everything.
You have like a whole thing of great 80s bad guys, right? Like really good bad guys. And then you have a whole bunch of good guys and you go head to head. Big lots of 80s bad guys, big lots of 80s good guys, and just... That's the whole film. There's no storyline.
We don't need a story.
It just starts in a war,
we just
and that's all you
macho
find out.
Action bullshit. Yep,
absolutely. Bring it on.
And this is the point that we were trying to make in the review, but Celine couldn't quite understand, because she's obviously not testosterone-laden enough to know that, you know, this movie, we didn't care that there was no story. We didn't care. All we wanted was big men with big guns hitting each other. All right, moving on from the Expendables, let's talk about more 80s stuff and basically say that Arnold Schwarzenegger, now this actually horrified me.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, we reported last week, tweeted that he's back on the market.
Yep.
Right, and now we're finding out that they're trying to expand his role in the Expendables, but we've also found out that he is actually considering 15 different films at the moment, including a remake of The Running Man and a remake of Predator.
Oh, wow.
That's not a good idea.
Oh, dude, can you imagine Running Man again?
I can actually imagine that more than I can imagine him rebooting Predator.
But dude, can you imagine him, how he looks right now doing Running Man?
No.
Oh man, you know it sounds amazing.
Oh man, I think he's kind of deluded as to how old and how out of shape he might be, you know? And I just sit there and go, really? I think you really need to start looking at different kinds of roles. You know, I don't know if you can be, you know, I'll be back, man, anymore. You know, I think you may have passed that. And we're all keen to see you back on screen, but I think, do you know what we want to see? The film we want to see? John Milius directing King Conan. That's the film we want to see. The older Conan taking the throne. That's the film made by the guy who made the original Conan the Barbarian. This guy's been trying to get this film made for 30 years. You know what I mean? And it was almost a go at one point. There was all this talk about King Conan almost happening, and then Arnold got elected governor.
Well, look, you know? Maybe it'll happen, man.
Well, no, because now we've got this rebooted Conan coming.
Yeah.
They've kind of blown it out of the water, and it's like, all I can sit there and go, that's the film we wanted to see. Robert E. Howard's King Conan. That would have been awesome, you know? That would have been like coming full circle. But no, instead he wants to redo. How can you even think about rebooting Predator when we've already done a good sequel to Predator now, we're ready to go on in that timeline? We don't need to reboot it now, you know? Anyway. All right. So yes, I put in the show notes his future is looking grim at this point because I don't like any of these ideas. I like the idea of this Nazi film that he was thinking about doing where he saves the kids and stuff. I think that's the sort of stuff we want to see Arnold doing.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? All right, now, we have two trailers. Now, we were only going to do one. I had one more lined up. But this morning, one cropped up on me. All right, and I had to quickly grab it and encode it and get it onto the board because it just came out of nowhere. I woke up this morning, checked the news, and it's like, brand new trailer hits. It's like, oh, God, at the last minute. So we'll do this one first because this was actually from one of our listeners. Tristan actually sent this through. No, sorry, I take that back. Tristan didn't send this through. Delta Knight sent this through. Delta doesn't usually do links for film, actually. He usually just researches Geek, actually. But he put this in the show notes and said, have you seen this? And I had actually seen it, but I didn't know if I was going to put it in the show, blah, blah, blah.
Don't worry.
Why are you? We're going to mix up the pins, man.
Relax.
anyway, and so, sorry, he just stole my pen off my iPad, people. Anyway, so we have a trailer for a movie called Super.
Super.
And it's a comedy superhero film that actually stars an actor I am not a fan of. He's the guy from The Office, and his name has gone out of my head right now. I can't believe his name went out of my head. I'll see if I can find it for him. It doesn't matter. But he's in the American Office, he's the crazy one, you know, the sidekick of Steve Carell.
Yeah.
His name has gone. Chat room, his name, please, hit me with it. Anyway, but he is a little bit nuts, and he decides to put on a superhero costume, and then picks up a sidekick in the form of Ellen Page. So have a look at this and tell me this doesn't look like one of the strangest things you've seen in a while. And I actually wouldn't mind seeing it.
Frank.
I don't want to stop. I knew I was losing her.
Excuse me. Have you seen my wife?
I don't think she wants to see you anymore.
What?
Sarah!
Don't touch my car again. I'm going. That's not the kind of touching I meant.
Jock, he stole my wife. Can you arrest him?
Sometimes it's better just to accept these things.
Batman, batarang, pipe bombs, utility belt.
Utility belt.
Green Arrow has a bow and arrow.
Okay.
Why do you need all those?
I'm making up my own superhero.
He needs a weapon.
That'll do.
Cool.
All it takes to be a superhero is the choice to fight evil.
Shut up, crime.
Don't steal! Don't deal drugs!
Don't
kids.
The brutal assault by the Crimson Bolt continued last night.
Are you him?
No.
It's cool. I could be your kid's sidekick. Ta-da! How do I look?
That's inappropriate.
Frank is the only thing that will save me.
We will take those suckers down.
That's good.
Let's do this.
You just sit here and wait for crime to happen?
That's right.
This is so boring.
Yes, I could tell you now he's looking for more.
You're supposed to kill him.
I'm just warning. You have to teach me these things.
This is not about good and evil. This is about she loved me more because I am interesting.
Crimson Bolt!
That movie looks batshit insane.
It's a bunch of sociopaths running around in costumes. I love the movie where he goes, "You're not supposed to kill them. Well, you're supposed to teach me." And what is with Nathan Fillion? He's not even in the trailer at all. Then at the end it says, "And starring Nathan Fillion." It's like, where the hell did you come from?
Maybe he's just got an appearance for like 5 seconds or something. But either way.
We actually have one more trailer. We got sidetracked there, but we have one more trailer. And this is the one that kind of cropped up out of nowhere. Now, we've been talking about this film for a couple of weeks. And they showed, almost 8 months ago, they showed that teaser trailer. This is the film Super 8, J.J. Abrams' new film. Hmm. They showed that teaser trailer that showed the train crashing. Then at the Super Bowl, they showed us those little clips, very quick clips. And it looks interesting, but what is it? You know, it's still so quick. This morning, the full trailer came out. And we finally get our first look. And in fact, they've even told us a plot synopsis now, which basically says that some kids during 1979 are shooting a Super 8 movie, and they witness the train crash and the whole alien whatever is coming out of that train. So we actually have a little bit more of the story. So we thought we'd hear, this is fresh. This is only this morning this came out. So here's the Super 8 trailer. And I got to say, I'm actually excited. We'll talk about this afterwards, though, because Josh and I kind of differ on this. But we'll have a look at this. Here's Super 8.
I've got nothing against your friends. I like your friends. Now, things have obviously changed for us.
I have to help Charles finish his movie.
Be good for you to spend some time with kids who don't run around with cameras and monster makeup.
Could you close your eyes, please?
Yeah. And action!
An eastbound freighter derailed. What the cargo was on that freighter, we don't know.
We can't tell anyone.
I know.
I understand you have concerns about our cargo.
Colonel, there isn't anything else that I should know, is there?
I can assure you the answer is no.
We've gotten calls from people who found local dogs, but the calls coming in aren't local.
Come see!
It's like they all just ran away.
I've got property damage. I've got theft. I've got 9 people missing now. There are things happening around here that I can't explain.
We have to find this thing.
I don't feel good about this.
Go!
I saw it. No one believes me.
I believe you.
What the hell?
Okay, dude. What do you think?
Look, that's definitely a step in the right direction. Yeah. I actually think that looks quite good. Like, again, I was only not into it because it's like when I watch the trailer, it's like the trailer doesn't excite me. That's a different trailer entirely.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, it looks like they're going to go all out and actually have the monsters come out and stuff like that.
And do you know what I think it is? What? I think it is going to be the 2010 era Goonies.
You reckon?
I think that's where we're heading, man. It is supposed to be an homage to late 70s, early 80s Steven Spielberg productions, right? It's got the group of kids. They're going to be out there. We're talking Monster Squad. We're talking Goonies. We're talking that kind of film, you know?
Hey, man. I'm in on this film. If that's the case, then yeah, for sure, I'm in.
Yeah, no, I'm in on this film. I think, look, it's one of my favorite eras of cinema, and I have a very soft spot for that era of cinema.
What are you talking about? It is your favorite.
No, yeah, true, absolutely. It's one of my favorite eras of cinema. I've got a couple of favorite eras of cinema, but that is definitely one of my favorite eras of cinema. You're right. It's my favorite era of cinema. I have a real soft spot for the early 80s, but late 70s, early 80s. But I think just the fact that they use the music from Cocoon in the trailer is perfect, you know? We're getting just enough to still keep it a mystery as to what's going on, but there's now enough that we at least have something to grab onto, you know? I think it's going to be hot. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Well, look, I have to say that I'm a lot...
I'm more here for that than I am for Thor.
Yeah. But again, we've still got time to see more Thor, so...
Well, I want to see Thor, too, don't get me wrong, but I'm actually... That is the film... And as IMSpace says, looks very cool. You know what I mean?
No, she actually says coo square.
Well, yeah, okay. But you know, then that adds an L, so it's okay.
Oh, right.
Damn you, autocorrect. So there you go. That's our last minute edition. It's not even on the show notes. We just threw it in there. I will put a link in the show notes to it. And funnily enough, where did this thing debut? It debuted on Twitter.
Wow.
It was the twit video. It's like they just kind of... pumped it out there. So there is an embed code. I will find the original tweet. I'll get the embed code and I'll put it up on Geek actually so we can actually find it easier. Okay. Okay. Well, that brings us to our favorite section of the show, I think, which is our list of five. And I better grab my iPad for this.
Yeah.
We have reviewed our feature films. We've looked over the news. And now we get to that part where we just get to cut loose and find out some new stuff to watch. Right, quite frankly. I've actually got on my iPad here as the lock screen. I don't know if you'd noticed, but this is the actual new poster for Conan, for this new reboot of Conan. It's actually not looking too bad. The poster is actually quite impressive.
Yes, I know.
Which
I
is
saw it before.
Him standing on a pile of skulls, which I think is kind of cool.
How
it should be. I still don't think the film is going to be very good, but we'll wait to see the first trailer. I have this horrible feeling from the footage I've seen, it's going to be the Scorpion King. And I don't. And it's not to say the Scorpion King wasn't fun, but I don't want the Scorpion King. I want 1982's Conan the Barbarian. You know? That's what I want. All right. Anyway, let's have a look here and say our list this week is five great animated characters. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean the films are great, but the character stood out as something. And that means the film might have been great. Who knows? But it was the character that stood out. What's your number five?
My number five, to give a little bit of a... to give two things that people need to know before I read out my list. Number one, I am, whether or not you think so, sticking entirely within the realm of cinema, as in films, because even though some of my characters do come from TV shows, they were also in full-length movies as well about the same topic, with the same character arcs. So, technically, I am still on top of
it. So, as an example, something like Neon Evangelion, where they had a film.
They had a film.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. But, so all of these are legit.
Star Blazers had Battleship Yamato and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And the other thing, as Dave has pointed out in what he's just saying, all of my stuff I've decided to go Eastern because I know most of Dave's stuff will be Western-based.
All Western-based.
Yes. All of it is.
Yeah. So, that's not to say I don't like... anime. No. It's just that these.
Hey, look! I have a grounding in this.
Yeah, these are the characters that just jumped out at me.
Yeah.
So.
My number five is a character called Ninja Ninja, who is from Afro Samurai. Ninja Ninja is voiced by Samuel L. Jackson, who is also playing the lead character. And small spoiler, because it doesn't actually wreck anything if you know this. Ninja Ninja is actually a figment of his imagination. It's actually his sort of outgoing side that he doesn't let out.
It's like.
Just him talking out what he would be thinking inside. And when you find that out, it's funny enough, but he is batshit insane. He is really funny, and he is an absolute coward, which just makes it awesome because he's such a balancing act.
Cool. I've actually been meaning to see Afro Samurai for ages. I still haven't watched it.
Mm.
I actually think I've got the complete series downstairs. I'll have to have a look at it.
Yeah, there's the original movie, and then there is Resurrection, which was made into a movie, but it's also a 5-part series.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, my number five is a film that some of you will have seen, some of you will not.
Mm-hmm.
The character is Tarna, spelled with two A's.
Oh, from Heavy Metal.
She is a mute Amazon from Heavy Metal, from the movie Heavy Metal, which came out in the early 80s, which is my favorite segment in that film, and she is just awesome. without saying a word, her presence on screen is remarkable. And there's that one sequence in particular where she's in the bar and the two guys start coming up and sexually molesting her, and what I'm saying, she doesn't say much, and he goes, well, what I want to do to her, she doesn't have to speak, and then she proceeds to beat the crap out of them.
I know,
with her beer stein.
Yeah. It's pretty epic.
It is fantastic. She is such a good character and hot to boot.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen Heavy Metal, my wife actually watched it many years ago when it first came out on video, because it disappeared for a long time because they lost the rights to a lot of the music. When they finally got all the rights back, restored it, brought it out on video, she had a look at it, and it's interesting because it was like 15 years after it had originally been released, and I still loved it, but she made the observation, she goes, it's like a teenage boy's fantasy. It's lots of sex and lots of swearing, lots of drugs, but it's so much fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're number four.
My number four is Motoko Kutsunagi, who is the main chick for Ghost in the Shell. Such an interesting character. It really broke up at the age that I saw it what I thought of characters, because technically she is a robot, but it's a really interesting character arc the more you learn about her and the more you learn about her as a character. And just amazing amazing character development for someone who kind of doesn't really show emotion as such, so her reactions are very different to what you would expect. Really well designed in either the English version or the
If you get it on DVD, I think you can actually watch either version. Definitely any anime, always try and watch the Japanese version if you can, with subtitles. It's much better, much better experience, much more satisfying experience. Okay, my number four is Doug from Up.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
I just met you and I love you.
a perfect human representation of the concepts of what it would be like to hear what a dog thinks.
Absolutely. I thought Doug just brought a smile to my face every time he was on screen.
Yep, exactly.
Just terrific stuff. Love him. And if you haven't seen Up, it is a terrific film.
You must watch that film. Must be watched. It's beautiful.
But yes, Doug with his little speech collar allowing the dog to speak is fantastic.
Yeah.
Your number four.
Number three is Alex Lewis Armstrong, who is from Full Metal Alchemist. Now, if you haven't seen this series before, it is fucking amazing. But him in particular is a really, really interesting character because he is like a very high-level general in an army of people that use alchemists basically as a weapon. So they're like the artillery you bring in to massacre towns and stuff like this. And this guy is built bigger than Arnie at the best of times. and he's really proud and really strong, but gets incredibly emotional. So he will just start breaking down crying whenever he thinks something's beautiful. And he is just batshit insane to watch on screen, because he will go from like posing with his, like, he'll just randomly lose all of the top half of his clothing and just pose like with his muscles sticking out, and then break out into how amazing he thinks the bond between the two brothers in the movie is or whatever. It's just watching him on screen, like you were saying with Doug, every time he's on screen, you're like, what's going to happen?
I love characters like that. I love the unexpected
characters. Thank you. Yes, Delta's agreeing with me in the chat room over that. Yeah, no, he is just fantastic. Yeah.
No, I always love the unexpected characters, the little support characters. But that being said, my next one is actually the star of the film.
Yeah.
I have to give credit where credit is due. My number three is Coraline from the film Coraline.
Yeah.
She's this sassy, free character who is being dealt with all these strange issues and basically takes it all in her stride.
Yep.
And I love that casual nature to her where it's like, oh, is that what's happening? Okay. You're a talking cat. Okay. You know, and I love that nature to her. She's a really good character, and I actually don't know who voiced her, but it is actually somebody really good as well. No, she's a really good character, and it's a really good film. If you haven't seen Coraline.
It's an interesting thing, because they really sort of held down the type of person that she was. She's got this very full-on
she's very self-confident, and that really comes through.
And it all comes from that the kind of world she's grown up in, but it's just
because she's basically neglected. She's had to fend for herself, and that fending for herself has made her incredibly self-reliant, and that character is never lost throughout the entire film. It's Dakota Fanning, that's who.
Dakota Fanning,
And it's just a terrific job. It's just a terrific character, and all in stop motion too. Delta's also said Dakota Fanning. Thank you. Really, really good film. If you haven't seen Coraline, do see it. The stop motion is fabulous. Your number two.
This one's an interesting one because it's sort of like I watched it and I don't really remember if there was ever a movie version made of this, but it's another one of those anime-based characters. There is a new set of animes that have come out. They've come out in two boxes. I think they might have been squished together, but it's called Black Lagoon, which is an animated series about a bunch of people that are basically mercenaries that work on a boat, and they come in contact with the main character, who becomes sort of your entry into their life, who is just a businessman that gets stuck in their world. But one of the coolest characters I've ever seen is Revy, who's the main chick in it, because she is the proud, you know, sort of female hero that you would expect in this kind of a thing. But at a moment's notice in an episode, she will flick to a point where you stop liking her, because she is just manically insane when it comes to killing. Like, she will murder a boat full of people and not even think about it. And it's just really interesting, because you laugh throughout the series because it's quite funny, and you've got Rock, who is the male character, who is constantly, like, he's the one that's kind of their moral ethics code. It's sort of like, if they're not supposed to do something, Rock will be the one that will stand up and go, don't do this. But yeah, when she lets loose, she is insane, and it's fantastic. Really cool. So yeah, I definitely advise anyone checking that one out.
That's, what was the series called? Black Lagoon.
Black Lagoon is the series.
Check that one out too. You got a lot I've got to check out. My number two is actually from a little scene, unfortunately, because it's actually a very funny film too, but it really, the animation, it's a very different animated film called Hoodwinked, which basically tells fairy tales, but in a very odd way. But in Hoodwinked, there is a character that appears only once, I think, or twice in the entire film, called Japheth the Goat, who is this mountain goat who lives in a shack and is cursed that he can only speak by singing.
Yeah.
And he has interchangeable antlers, and he's continually changing his antlers for whatever he needs. And he sits there with his little banjo, and he's basically singing songs. And he is the funniest thing in the film. I could just watch that moment over and over again with them in the rail car while he's basically singing what's going on around them. Because it's like, and he's got these little glasses, and you're all the way through, you sit there, and he kind of is this animated visual analog for somebody like, you know, what's that comedian? My mind's gone blank here. George Carlin or something like that. He's got that kind of feel to him. He's a very funny character, and he stood out for me all the way through that film. And you could go and just watch it for Japheth the Goat, because he's very funny. So Hoodwinked. Yeah. Your number one.
My number one is from Cowboy Bebop. It's the main character whose name is Spike. Spike is one of the, in my opinion, out of anything that came out of the East, one of the most interesting characters you will ever see, because his character is incredibly laid back by nature. He is a martial arts expert, and I mean expert. This guy will get into fights and barely break a sweat. Like, he will just sort of move left and right, very casually ducking and then responding with a kick or something like that. However, the past that this guy has, as you sort of go through the series, becomes more and more heartbreaking, and then the end of the series ends very much like a Western does. And it's just incredibly affecting, and
can I make you go, oh my god?
Yeah.
I've never seen Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot
It's actually one that I've been meaning to watch for ages, and I've just never gotten to it.
Yeah, no, look, it's one of those series, like, it does take a while to get into, because the first few episodes are very kind of, like a lot of series that we get over here, are very kind of like each episode is just a self-contained thing, and in amongst that, there's just these little lines and little dialogue pieces and little scenes that add up to the total package, but the entire series is made around that kind of an idea. So it's like once you get into it and you've just got the spare time to sit down and watch, the actual underlying story is really well told, but you have to sit through a lot of. And don't get me wrong, it's great fun. Like all of the episodes are always either really they'll go from really serious to really funny and do it perfectly.
Yeah.
But it's the underlying story that makes the series so great.
Fantastic. All right, well my number one was actually suggested to me by my lovely wife, Katie. Mm. We sat down to do this list, and this was like the first thing that came out of anybody's mouth, and I just went, oh my God, yes, absolutely, because of the impact it made at the day.
Yeah.
And that has got to be Jessica Rabbit.
Oh, dude.
From Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Dude.
Jessica Rabbit, whose famous quote is, I'm not bad, I'm just drawn that way. Yeah. with voiced by a early 80s still in that body heat era, sex on legs, Kathleen Turner, is just this sensual character put on screen. And you sit there and say, to make a cell animated character that damn sexy and pull it off, so to speak, is really quite staggering. And they did. And she's one of the things that everybody remembers from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And I have to say, she's my number one animated character, dude. Whether the film or not is your cup of tea is not the issue.
Exactly.
She is a remarkable character. So there you go. There's our list of five great animated characters. Once again, it's not a top five list. These are just five great animated characters. We put them in a ranked order just so because it's easy to fly through them, basically, that way. Mm. But there you go. There's a list. So hopefully there's something in there for you to watch. We're going to finish up here today.
I think Delta's already written a giant list. So
well, I hope so. I hope we always inspire somebody. Now, we are going to go out today. Our final music for the show is actually from the soundtrack of Rango. So when we go out, that music that you're hearing will be, I think it's actually called Rango Suite from the Rango soundtrack. So you'll be able to hear that. But first, if you agree or disagree with anything we've had to say, or you have opinions on Rango or any of the news stories or anything like that, send it to feedback@geekactually.com, or you can drop us a voicemail and you might be played on the show, 02-801-13167, or you can use Skype ID geekactually, all one word, if you are outside of the country. Get your merchandise, join the fan page, follow us on Twitter, follow our This Year's in Movies Tumblr pages, or whatever else you want to do. Just go to geekactually.com. All the information is there on that front page at various places, and you can find out everything. If you want to follow our geek show that we've sometimes referenced on this show, you know, for tech and geek news and all that kind of weirdness that we like to put together, Geek Actually is the name of the show. You can find it on iTunes or right at geekactually.com. You can watch us record this show live. We do this show live, and you never know what's going to happen on a live show.
Yeah. We always have a crazy amount of people in the chat room just being crazy.
Chat room's always talking, and sometimes, like with the Geek Show this morning, we even open the phone line. So you never know what's going to happen on a live show. So come along, join us live. Watch us at geekactually.com/live. We start the recording day. We record both shows back to back. We start with Geek Actually. We then finish with Film Actually. We start the entire day around the 12 noon-ish Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time, which is roughly 5 p.m. Pacific, I think it was, or 8 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. That is on Friday, though, not Saturday, because of the international dateline. And we have a few people we like to shout out to. First of all, Rob is in our chat room. So, Rob, we're going to give a big shout out to the Weekend Ronin Boys and say, listen to the Real Junkies podcast, R-E-E-L. You can find them on iTunes or go to weekendronin.com. They're a movie podcast like us, but they like to drink tequila. And Rob, when are you going to be on the show again? That's the question I've got. I know you've got a kid. So do I. Calling you out, man. you can always hear Rob, though, because they like to still play that Robot Rob voice at the end, which I think Rob hates. They're always drunk, says Rob. Yes, that's very true. They are a lot of fun to listen to, and they also reviewed Rango this week. So you can have a listen to their podcast. We also want to give a shout out to our friends over at the Funky Film Show. You can find that on Radio Fremantle 107.9 FM or at radiofremantle.com. That's hosted by our very good friend Rachel over there. So Rachel, all the love goes out to you as usual. And Josh, you have another show.
Yes, BroadDLC.com, it's a gaming website. Go over there, check it out. We've got a whole bunch of new stuff up there. And don't forget, at the same time, that we have a podcast as well that goes out at Tuesdays, 8 o'clock. Definitely go check that out. And subscribe to Arbiter if you haven't already. If you're lost on what that means, go to geekactually.com, and it's at the top right-hand corner.
There you go. And you can also find out information about our cartoonist who did our lovely cover arts for us at attackninja.blogspot.com. And I think we've run out of plugging. Except I will say very quickly, because she's in our chat room, that if you like art, you should support Celine. You can find all of her shows and gallery exhibitions and stuff over at godhaspinkhair.com. And Celine is a regular on our show, and we love you, Celine. And she said in the chat room, "Do you like art?" So yes, you can find out all about her shows and so forth at godhaspinkhair.com.
Yep.
That's it. I'm done. You done?
I'm done.
Go see more movies. You don't see enough movies. And all of life's questions are answered in the movies. And we will see you all next week. Bye now, everyone.